Blog Talk Radio.
Of a brother, good Sunday. So we're going back to business, going back into, you know, topics that on the know. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say in the know because that's the other thing, man. But topics that, you know, everybody is concerned with, that bring about a lot of uproar in some cases. In other cases, you know, it's just good conversation, and that's all it's about for us today. So we'll move on in. Today's show is Who's in Charge, and we'll elaborate on that as we move forward. First, we'll go into In the Know, you know what I'm saying? Get that out there right quick. Our first topic getting In the Know this week, a little controversy. Assistant principal resigns after comparing a kindergartner in his district to the reality, TV star Honey Boo Boo. So it was considered cyberbullying. Now, from what I was reading, it said he posted a photo of a 6-year-old girl in Walmart with the caption, Honey Boo Boo in Walmart. So off of that, pretty much, there was a lot of uproar. Now, this is a principal we're talking about of a school. The incident led to a petition calling for his fire. His termination, I should say, which included his own son's signature. On top of that, his daughter a teacher, also attacked him on the original Facebook page, well, the post, he put it. So I was thinking, like, when I seen it, I was like, now, as a principal, like, we all got our personal pages.
Right.
And we all got personal stuff we put up there. But if I know you, my friend, and you the superintendent of the school board, not saying this was the situation, that's a little far, but if you're the superintendent of the school, but why would I post a picture of a six-year-old girl, I'm a principal at a school, of a six-year-old girl and say, honey, boo-boo?
That's what I'm saying. He didn't think that that was wrong.
I'm pretty sure you know now, that's crazy.
Because he's in the school system, I mean, like it or not, he's held to a higher standard than, say, somebody that was working at McDonald's and saw that in Walmart and made that same statement.
And making the statement is one thing.
Right.
Taking a picture and putting it on your page? That's crazy.
Oh, man.
I
don't blame him.
Did he do it with, was he talking down on the girl or was he just saying she looked like Honey Boo?
But a little girl,
it don't matter.
Yeah.
Why even touch that? Yeah. You don't even touch that. You are a principal at a school. You don't even touch that one.
I don't know. I guess that's why I'm the principal.
Right.
It's his personal pay. I can understand if he did it on the school site. He did it with anything affiliated with the school. This is my personal.
But see, it's seen in cyberbullying. So with that being said, like, that means whatever the picture, whatever he posted to the picture was took in a derogatory way. And the little girl, who's actually a girl in his district, so that's like me taking a picture of somebody that's in our community.
Right.
Not saying I know them, but I haven't seen them before. I might not personally know them. And put it under the picture, the boogie eater. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So now you get that.
That's a little different, though. That's a little different.
All right, boo-boo, because the little girl, she was an obese little girl.
I understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah,
it's
but
what,
he's
how you
he's
know
making
it.
The comparison of somebody that everybody, well, a lot of people know.
Right.
He didn't attack her personally. I'm just making the comparison. She looked like Honey Boo-boo.
You don't see.
Why are you gonna be wrong?
You don't see because he's in the school system, and that was a child that was inappropriate. Regardless whether he meant something good about it or bad about it, he's in the school system. You mean to tell me they haven't taken a course or a class or some kind of something?
Cyberbullying.
Okay, so let's go this route.
So I had them understand that type of situation.
What if it was he took a video of a school player playing basketball and put it under the caption?
Michael Jordan.
He liked Kobe. We got a problem with that?
I don't think you should touch it. You know,
I mean,
don't even touch
it. Because
even with that, they could be like, okay, you showing favoritism to your players. And it can go a lot of ways. I mean, it's just like Bob was saying, the easiest way not to get in is not to touch it.
Okay, so then at that point, I can't say nothing.
No.
I can't talk about it.
You can talk about me. I'm grown. I ain't in school.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it matters.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, it matters.
No, I can't do that. Now I got a problem with that.
See, well,
I got a problem with that.
That's why they got a problem with the kids then.
No, it ain't about me not having a problem with the kids. I don't see that he said anything derogatory. All he said was, she reminds me of Honey Boo Boo. I don't even know who Honey Boo Boo is, but.
That might be why.
That might be why.
That might be why.
Okay, well,
pull up
Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. Okay. That might be why.
Don't look for Honey Boo Boo.
That might be why.
Yeah.
I'm going to move over to the next topic.
There you go.
That might be why. I ain't know you ain't know who Honey Boo Boo was. And I noticed you kept saying like she was a celebrity or something. Who she is?
I mean,
all you put was honey.
Oh.
And who popped up?
Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. You're mad. You're mad.
I don't say
it. Okay,
let's go.
Now you see how that could be taken either way.
Like Bone said, I can't say sure, man. UPS, right? Fires 100 of drivers after they protest. So 250 employees in Queens, New York, walked off the job during a 90-minute protest in February. They were protesting the dismissal of a longtime employee and union activist. Monday, the company dismissed 20 of the workers after their shifts. And issued a notice to termination the other 230 employees, right? Notifying them that they will be fired once the company has trained their replacement.
Mm.
So that means they are still employed knowing they are fired.
That's
crazy. And now, it was 90 minutes. They protested because they fired somebody that meant something to them. It was true. So it shows you how much they care about their employees.
Right. So UPS is firing these people because they protested the firing of another employee.
Right. They stood up for somebody else.
Ain't no law against that. Ain't no legal. Like, I could just fire you just because you...
Because I don't see... No, you have... Yeah. UPS has a union.
Okay.
So, if I'm not mistaken, these drivers are... They're all a part of this union.
Right.
So, that a union is to fight for my rights as an employee.
Exactly. Without...
Okay. Now, does me protesting and you firing an employee fall into the category of what my union can protect me from? You know, my union can protect me from if I'm not being paid right. My union can protect me if I'm not getting the proper hours. My union can protect me, you know what I'm saying, for me losing my job. Now, can we take these 90 minutes out of your operation? We don't know when they took them 90 minutes. Could have been a critical time when they needed those employees the most. If that hurt that building, I think they have every right to fire them.
I think at the end of the day, UPS is mad. I don't care when you took the 90 minutes. You got the balls to stand up to me and tell me you don't
some
like what I did.
Some kind of
magic
show you.
I tell you what.
250 John.
That's what I'm saying.
And they told 230 of them, you going to work for me until I get you a replacement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you out of here as soon as I get somebody qualified to do it.
Exactly.
You think I'm showing up and I know you're going to fire me.
I ain't
coming to work.
That's
no.
The thing right there.
But now, that's the thing. That's
if
the thing
I do right kind of work, I'm going home heavier than I can work. Figure it out now.
Dang right there.
Now, look.
See, that should have been a topic.
The local politicians are threatening to cancel their contracts with UPS, right? Which will cost UPS millions of dollars. Well, UPS fired back, that'll cause more workers to lose their job because they will have no need for them to deliver.
This is what they're trying to tell you. We really don't care.
Yeah. So they're telling anybody who's coming at them, this is my establishment.
Yeah,
this is what I'm
I don't
doing.
Care. Who's bigger, UPS or FedEx?
I'm finna say that's going to mean a lot of work for any competitor
right.
to UPS.
So they might be throwing money out the
window. You know what I'm saying? They just talking. They not willing to give up that money.
Right.
Ooh. They showing you.
No. They just talking.
Okay.
When it comes to the customers and the people that's talking about cutting their accounts.
But do you realize just the impact on business firing 250 people at one time?
I understand.
They don't care.
They know it's a lot of they taking a gamble on the job.
It's a lot of people that want
a lot of people that want to work.
And those people who go fill out applications to UPS under these circumstances, to me, you need to think about what you're doing. They showing you what
well,
your
yeah,
employment
yeah,
is
yeah, yeah,
mean before you fill out the application.
A lot going on in that story right there, man.
It is. I understand
it's a lot,
that.
It's a lot.
I understand
lot
that.
Going on in that I think it's more to it for them than even just off this, just let it. I mean, that many people go.
Yeah.
There had to be some background.
A lot of meetings going on right
yeah.
now between union reps and I'm trying to tell you.
Because that's going to come back. I mean, you're going to probably fight that.
Yeah.
You
but
know?
Legally, I don't think they have a stand.
Yeah.
So there's no civil case in this whatsoever. I can't go back at UPS for my job, basically.
The question is if the union, you can do it individually. I don't think the union is going to back them, though. And that's a lot of money. You pay dues for the union to do a lot of things for you. I don't think the union going to have a ground to stand on. This is a big story.
Yeah,
that's
a big
story.
Story that's a big story. For them, like you say, we could bring it back as a topic later,
that's
too.
That's a big story. Right
and
now.
Follow it just to see where it goes.
What's next?
Next, Drake. Rapper. Actor. Former actor. Congratulates Kentucky in the locker room after the win last night in the Final Four against Wisconsin. Well, the funny thing about this is, Drake was not the only celebrity at the Final Four this weekend. You had Troy Aikman, Russell Wilson, Johnny Manziel, Danica Patrick, Christian Laettner, and Grant Hill, which was 92 of that Kentucky game with them. Remember when he threw the ball to him? Christian Laettner turned around and made the shot. So they was there. Dwight Howard was even there. You know, he skipped college to go to high school. I mean, from high school to pro. But he was there with Chandler Parsons, who played at University of Florida from 08 to 2011. Well, the interesting part of this is, all of them was there, and Drake was the only person who attempted to go in the locker room, which I found kind of strange, because on a backstory on this, Drake did the same thing after the Heat, Miami Heat won the championship last year, but he was denied access for the Heat. So I'm trying to figure out at this point, I have no problem with Drake. If he congratulating dudes and that's what he want to do, that's cool. Why he keep all these people out of the room, though?
You think he big like that?
You know what I'm saying? Look at all these people I named. Even some people, you know what I mean? I didn't name no Kentucky player, or a former player, but some people who have more of a connection than Drake. And then you go to the Heat. I know hip-hop and NBA kind of synonymous now, but still, come on, man. What Drake keep going to people locker room for?
Like you just said, because I feel like I can. I
feel like he can.
Until you tell me no.
Like he did.
Why wouldn't I?
Then I guess he showed and went back to Kentucky. So he was asked, was he a Kentucky fan?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know the guy was that big of a sports fan.
Who that? Drake?
Yeah, I didn't know he was.
Oh, and that's... Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know for sure if he is or not. I don't know if he is or not. And it's a possibility he is. But the way he's going about things, for me, kind of makes it seem is he a really a sports fan or is he going here just for publicity?
I don't think I might need a college basketball team. If I'm Drake, I don't need a college basketball team for publicity. Now, I would go congratulate him if I won a heap of money on a bet.
Appreciate that.
And that's, hey, we don't know. That could be some of it. I just thought it was interesting, man, keep going and people block them. Y'all want to take this call? Keep going. Okay. We see you got a caller, but we're going to get through the end of no, and then we'll pick up from there. President Obama, on a somber note, is going to attend Fort Hood Memorial Service on Wednesday. Investigators say an armored truck driver had an argument before opening fire at the Texas Post last Wednesday, killing 3 soldiers and wounding 16 others before taking his own life. As we noticed the second time something like this is taking place at Fort Hood, I commend the president for taking out his busy schedule to go and to participate in these memorial events on Wednesday. And at the same time, my hearts and prayers goes out to Fort Hood and families that are affected and all those around that may be affected. Truly, being a former soldier myself, I have to say, I told you sometimes going to appreciate it, but stuff like this you really don't need, you know, inside our own group of soldiers. So I just had to put that out there. I mean, I know that's one of the more of a somber note, but if y'all want to express your feelings of how you feel about that.
Okay, I'm gonna take this one. I'm gonna jump off on this one, and I mean no harm, no offense to anybody. But when you take a human being, a group of human beings, and you remold their brains,
mm-hmm.
you train them to become killers, regardless of what your purpose behind this is.
Right.
What do you expect them to do, other than what they're now trained and molded to do? This is not something I can turn on and turn off. When you reshape
mm-hmm.
my mind, you
right.
reshape my mentality. You've changed me. I'm not the person I was before I went through all of that. So, and each person is, you know what I mean? You have, each person is different. You don't know how, where you may be able to take that training and know when to apply it.
Right.
I might take that training and feel like, this is all I know now.
Mm-hmm.
Any confrontation, anything that I come up against, my mind goes directly to kill mode. So I'm not saying that. I'm not condoning. I'm not making excuses for. I'm not. I mean, it was irresponsible. It was unnecessary. But at the end of the day, like, who is the real blame on?
Well, it's almost like when Malcolm X said the rooster coming home to roost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You create your own monster. You know what I'm saying? And me and you talked about this on, and me, you and Bones discussed this on, you know, different occasions, pretty much the in-depthness of going over there and coming back,
mm-hmm.
of being in the military and being trained in some way, then you put me back in the civilian atmosphere. It's hard. It's an adjustment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we can't come out of it. So I understand totally where you're coming from. On that side, but just for the understanding of a military post is like a community.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost like Rogoma. Mm-hmm. So even though I may not see you daily, or I may not even know your name. You stay here. So we are one. So when you have, say somebody out of Livonia just all of a sudden did something out of the ordinary.
Right.
Regardless if you know him or not, you're going to say, I've seen him before. You know, he didn't see. It kind of affects everybody.
Right.
And then, and that's the thing I'm saying. That's my sentiments too. Even though the misunderstanding of the soldier when he is here and when he comes back, the understanding of that community was affected, I think is the bigger effect.
Right. That's from the ultimate action.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end result effect. But let's go backwards a minute. Put yourself back in rebellion when somebody. You know, you may not, like you said, you may not know me by name, but you know I live here, and you know what we're about out here. So when somebody wrong you past a certain point, knowing that I live here, knowing that I'm about the same thing you about, let's say they're breaking your house, knowing that I live here. I don't know how nobody.
Your neighbor breaking your house.
Right. You live in the same neighborhood. It's like certain lines, man, there's no understanding.
Right, right.
Now, again, we have to... There's a lot of stuff that goes into that.
Yeah.
I question his mind state,
yeah,
obviously. Because,
yeah,
like we're saying, to our same point, this was within his community.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like your neighbor going out there, God forbid, doing something like that. That elevates it. And me, I question, okay, then he must have really been going through something.
Yeah.
For that not to matter, then he must really be going through something. So that's where I take that.
Yeah, and I mean, to sum it up, and that's our last in the no topic, to sum that up, though, you know, like we said initially, our hearts and our prayers go out to everyone involved and affected by those events, those sad events out there, and we're going to continue to pray for them.
Yeah, that's all we're going
to do. Pretty much it. And all our soldiers serving, one up. You want to take the call?
It looks like we got a call that we're going to bring them on, so they might have to sit. All right, Carly, you live. You have a question, comment?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say congratulations to y'all brothers, man. I love what you're doing. You're inspiring a lot of people, a lot of brothers, you know, to do something positive and let their voice be heard. Brothers like myself, you know what I'm saying? So can y'all hear me clearly?
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate it. Okay,
I'm going to try to be real fast. I just want to make one comment. It's kind of off the subject, but I had to call in because I'm on my cell phone. I'm trying to be real quick with it. I was going for the Gators, but I didn't even know UConn, it had that young brother coaching. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And when I seen that, I mean, nobody believed me, but I didn't know it. I said, man, I didn't even know that was a coach. I said, I got to turn, you know, and I don't mean to be racial or whatever, but I don't want to be racial, but it's just, you know, I couldn't go up against that young brother, man. And I was just real happy to see him grab that win, man. And I like Kentucky, but I just can't go up against that brother, man. I would love to see him cutting those nets down when it's all said and done. And I'm going to wrap it up and say, man, I love y'all. Y'all be strong, and y'all keep it up, man. And my name is Vic, and I holler at y'all real soon. I'm going to be, you know, trying to call in on every show. God bless y'all, and keep it up. And let me listen to everything offline. Don't hang up on me. Just switch me back over offline, if you will, please.
We got you. We
appreciate the call, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate that, Vic. Appreciate
yeah,
everything.
Really
appreciate the love.
Appreciate that. And I'm going to go on your topic,
right?
Too.
Yeah,
because
I'm like him. Yeah. I didn't realize it either until I was watching a piece of a game and they cut to him. I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And I caught it maybe in the beginning of the March Madness, in the first beginning rounds. That's when I remember I said to you, I said, you better watch Kentucky. And you're like, man, Kentucky. I mean, Connecticut. I said, UConn, my bad. So you better watch him. He looked at me like I was crazy. But I had seen him play, and I seen his interview. And I bought into what he was selling when he was talking.
Yeah.
And I knew the player probably felt the same way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, I seen the backstory on him. Callahan.
No, we don't know.
But he's the old coach of Connecticut.
Okay.
Pushed for him to get that job. He had been his assistant and a former player. UConn really didn't want to hire him because he was young. He didn't have no experience. So when they picked him up, this was the school's first year in the Final Four without their former coach. This is dude's first year. This is first year, and he going to the championship. So that is commendable. And he's a young black brother. And when he talks, he's very articulate. He's very to the point. I mean, he's calm, and I bought into it.
Well, I'm going to say this, and Vic, if you're still listening, like I said, I appreciate you calling. But this is Corey. This is how I talk. This is who I am. I saw the young brother coaching the team, and I said, that's what's up. Mm-hmm. I hope he win it next year. Because I had Florida to win. I had Florida to win it all. So I get where you're going. You was rooting for Florida and then you switched, but I couldn't do it like that. But yeah, I wish him luck. Now that Florida's out of it, I hope he do win it all. You know what I mean? I ain't apologetic just because of the simple fact that he is.
And the thing is with Kentucky, man, that Hamilton dude, the twins, there's two twins. I didn't even know Kentucky had two twins. And they got a whole starting five freshmen. I kind of knew the five freshmen, but I know the twin boys. But the one dude done hit a three in the last three games in a row.
Yeah.
To win the game.
Yeah, they broke Wisconsin heart last night.
Yeah.
But that's okay, too. All right, well. Y'all ready to move into?
Yeah, I'm ready to move in. Appreciate it, Vic, once again, man.
Appreciate that, Vic.
So, yeah, we're just moving to the meat and
the topic of the show this week is who's in charge. Now, we tend to talk about things that most people would kind of shy away from, but it's topics that if you open your mind to it, you can walk away with a different perspective. I'm not saying you're trying to change your mind. Just open your mind a little bit. First topic is women in position of power. And we got on this because in defining what a woman was, we found ourselves veering off to women in politics and the possibility of us having our first woman president. What that would mean, good and maybe bad. And we ran out of time, so we wanted to come back and revisit that. So, fellas, y'all ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
I'm not saying that it got to be just a woman as a president. I mean, woman in
power.
Yeah, a position of power where you control a major venue.
I thought about it, and at first I was like, where are we gonna go with this? You know, so I came to it, kept looking, thought some more. I came up with this. The power kind of starts for everybody with grandma.
Mm-hmm.
It's the matriarch of the family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she kind of, the rules are resonated from grandma. You know what I'm saying? The standard is set right there. That's the platform. That's where the power all takes point. Then, the next line of power for everyone, regardless of how you want to look at it, is mother. She more than likely is the instiller. You know what I'm saying? Or she governs or instills the standards grandma already set.
Polices the law.
Yeah, polices. She basically the police. You know what I'm saying? She carries out and implements in us the understanding of that standard. Then, it doesn't stop there. Because we know as in the Bible, all men should be led to a good woman, which will ultimately be a wife. So there goes another, it's 3 foot levels of power as far as I'm concerned. You can even throw daughter in here, but because it's more, a daughter can fall under the father too, I would go with wife. And this is why I say so. The wife is the balance. She's more of the equalizer. This is her power. Her power is the power of then giving you power to realize we both have power, but I still have the power.
Okay.
So see, for me, that when I went and looked at it, that's how I seen how I would lay out the power. From that, if grandma was president, it worked for me.
Wait, no, but okay, let's go back to grandma.
You said go back to grandma.
Grandma was what? What you call her?
Grandma's a matriarch.
She's a matriarch.
She the standards have resonated from grandma. Everything is set from grandma's past.
Okay.
Which I agree with.
I do too. But my understanding of what you just said are their roles in the home. I'm talking about where I thought we were going with when it comes to being the standout person, the person that's out front.
It goes because back to that.
Even in that.
You can't
say, mama is the law, the policer. She polices the law, right?
She's an instiller.
Okay, if she's instilling, who made the law? She ain't made the law. She just enforcing it. Who made the law?
Grandma.
Grandma. No.
Who put? No, we're talking on a practical tense. We're talking on a practical tense. Says the levels of power. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying to formulate to even get before I leave my house and go do anything, I gotta be in my house first. I can't get nowhere until I leave home.
Okay.
So I'm saying that the level of power that we understand once we're coming up, you can also imply to the power in the world. Because a grandmother is still, maybe she's a 9-to-5 waitress. Maybe she's that babysitter. It's still a grandmother. That's still power though.
Okay. I'm not taking the position that women are powerless. That's not the position that I'm taking. What I will say is that when it comes to the forefront, when it comes to a leader, standout person. Now, if a man is not there in the picture, then they're forced to be. But if grandma got a husband, and if mama got a husband, and obviously wife got a husband, that man, she can have all the power behind, and we know that they do. In the background, they control everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, I'm going to put it to you this way. If you just saw a regular woman, a regular man that you had no ties to, no nothing, and you saw that that woman was the leader of everything, their house, their relationship, their family, their whatever, he just took a back seat. And this is kind of going into the man in a submissive role, which was topic number two, but what would that say to you about that man? We are people, and we get judgmental, and we do come to our own conclusions based on things, based on our own understanding of things. You might not know them, but somewhere in you, you will make a judgment on that situation, and if you'll be honest with yourself, what do you say about that man?
Okay, I understand where you're going, but to answer your question, all right, it depends on where I see them. Since I'm judging them, then that means I'm placing them in a box. That depends on what box I've placed them in. If I see an older couple and the woman has taken the leadership role, in my mind, I feel like, oh, well, she probably done earned that. Grandpa just sit back, chill, and hang out, and grandma run the family, it's because grandma done earned that. Grandpa done did his job. You know what I'm saying? They done had the children. He done took care of the family. They retired, all that good stuff. Okay, I'm done with my job.
So now grandma is basically stepping up in her role as helper, because now I've done what I needed to do on time. It still got to be done.
Right.
So now let me step back a little bit and let me give it to you now. I've been the forefront. I've done what I needed to do.
I understand totally what y'all are saying, but I'm not going that route. I'm going a different route because I understand it totally different, because interchangeably, a grandmother is a mother and a wife. They're all interchangeable.
Got that.
Interchangeably, that means as the wife is the equalizer and the gives out the power to let me understand that I can have power, that falls in the grandmother. The mother, who is the instiller, who enforces that when it's times when we fall and we can't figure it out, who's going to pick us up? 9 times out of 10, it's either your mama, your grandmother, or your wife.
I think it sounds as though I get where you're coming from, and I'm not discrediting or minimizing woman's role. That's not what I'm doing. I guess I'm attacking it from the standpoint, if woman is there and man is there, women should not be out front. I'm going to just say it bluntly. Like, I don't feel as though it's your role or place.
You mentioned what I'm saying, though.
No, I'm telling you what I'm saying.
The question was who's in charge? I never said who was out front. I said who's in charge.
Well, we're talking about in position of power.
If I'm in charge, I'm in a position of power, right?
Okay.
So who's in charge to me is grandmother, mother, and wife. Mm-hmm. Yes, I may stand out front. And yes, I do, I exude some kind of power because I have my own understanding. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying to you, interchangeably, at the end of the day, if you go back on any great man, you're going to look back to his wife, grandmother, or mother.
Okay, I got that.
It's more a negative outlook on all men when you look back at their father. I didn't make the rules. I know that might be controversial, but it's the truth.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that totally. That just, that if I'm looking at his father and he's done nothing wrong, why would that be negative?
No. I said most of the time when it is a negative aspect and we look at it and it comes back to one of the parents, it's the father.
Because the father was missing, you said. Or the father
it's
didn't
just,
do
it's,
his.
It's something the father did wrong.
Okay.
You never knew. It's almost, I mean, I done seen Mommy Dearest, so I know it is some bad moments. But I'm saying there's not a lot of chances when you put the parents together and you go back and look at something, you're going to say their grandmother led them wrong or their mother led them wrong. You get what I'm saying?
I do. Let's bring this back to where we were because I think we went off a little bit and that's where the miscommunication is happening. I don't even think it's a miscommunication. I just think we're not focused on what.
That's a different topic.
Yeah, it is. We were talking specifically last show, we were talking
right.
Are we ready for a woman to lead this country?
Then
being
I
in that position. Being in that's what women are like, positions of power when you're talking first lady president.
I understand what you're saying, but again, I think it's going to change because if I put a lady as president, I can see a lady as president. I can see a woman as president because I can see grandma as the matriarch. I can see grandma as the mother. I can see grandma as the wife. So I see them in power in them positions. So I see them in power in any other position you ask me. So I'm going where I need to go. I'm just not getting there as fast as you want me to.
No, it ain't about
I'm there.
You
do what I'm there. I'm just telling you at the core of me where I come from to understand why I feel like, yes, at the end of the day, I don't have a problem with a woman being president.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with a woman being an executive.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, mm-hmm. in most instances that I have been in most situations I have been in, I enjoy being employed by a female. Over a male.
I'm going to say this. Just like you went to your basis for your argument, my basis for my argument is going to be our creation and the rules that, or the roles that were established, the roles in which we were established for. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Man was put here. Man was given dominion. Man was told to name whatever he wanted to name. Man was given all of this stuff. Man, before woman got here. When looking around, I realize man has no companion. Man has no help, I'll just say. So I'm going to create that for you, man. That doesn't mean I'm not creating somebody to take your responsibilities. I'm creating your help. We've gotten like this whole liberal movement and thing. And I'm saying it's going to sound like I'm against women being able to do certain things. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have a blueprint. And when you deviate from that blueprint, you should expect that things not turn out the way they probably would have or should have. That's what I'm saying.
Can I interject this for a second?
Go ahead, bro.
All right. On that same point. All right, so God created man. Okay. Religion, for a lot of people, for us being human, is interpretation.
Okay.
Okay. I think your interpretation of that is fine. Nothing wrong with that. The man should be lead. I understand all that. a lot of people may interpret that her, the woman's creation, was not necessarily his help or just a companion, but maybe as his equal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I didn't say she was under him.
Well, the way you put it out there kind of came off helper.
I didn't say it. I read it. I didn't say it.
Okay.
I didn't make the word.
Which is true.
I'm just saying interpretation.
Interpretation.
You know what I'm interpretation, the woman is a man's companion, yes, but also his equal. You know, so I can see how some people may get a little warm or heated when people start saying that, you know, that a woman cannot. I'm not saying that you're saying that
mm-hmm.
a woman cannot take
mm-hmm.
that leadership role. You're just saying that creates a, I interpret you to saying that, that it creates an imbalance
yes.
because that's not the way it was mapped out for us.
Yes.
The man should play the lead role. It can work either way. Somebody got to take the lead. Even if you look like, let's reverse it. Okay, a lot of times that I think you were going with, a woman gives that power to the man, allows him to have that power.
Right.
And in return, has the most power.
Right.
Okay. It can be the other way around. The man can, okay, you know what? I can easily lead this family, but I'm just going to take the back seat. I'm going to let my wife take the lead. I'm here. Me giving her that power is giving me power in return.
Mm-hmm.
It's just society looks at it like it's wrong.
I'm looking at it. I can only talk about me. Every topic and everything that we discuss on the show is for or is coming from a place of trying to better our situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, things can be done a whole bunch of different ways. What is the right way, though? You understand what I'm saying? Like, what is, if we've been given a blueprint, and I just said that, when you deviate based on the different possibilities, yeah, it can always be possibilities. You can, it's more than one way to leave here and get to the stop sign at the end of the road. Some of them going to require more work. Some of them going to do a little bit of damage to your car. You'll still get there. Why not just take the route that the people who made up this development designed?
When we say that people made up the development, now, because I'm taking it, your stance is more what the Bible said, right?
Yeah.
So we ain't considering them people that made up that development because that's the
side. It was an analogy.
Okay. But anyway, to that point, though. So what I'm taking from the conversation is that you're saying more of the Bible say that the wife should be the helper of man, right?
Yeah.
So you feel putting a woman in a position of power is going against that, and that's why it will never work or it's not working.
I feel like putting a woman in a position of power, it depends on how we, what standpoint you take it from.
Right.
If we're going with the family as a man, if I put the wife in charge of leading the family, that just means, to me, that means that I'm pushing off some of our responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's not her responsibility. I'm not saying she can't do it. She may even do it better than me, but that's my responsibility. Help me. If you see something that I think this is where we agree without saying it, like we're agreeing in different ways,
right.
But if you see a way that I might be working against myself, then tell me.
Mm-hmm.
If you see where I can do this a little bit easier, then tell me. But when I need help over here, that's when I need you. For the rest of that, just let me do what it is that I'm put here to do. Let me worry about what I need to worry about.
I agree with that. I agree with that totally. That's how I handle a lot of things in my own marriage. But what I'm saying is when you say you handing over your responsibility, isn't she your helper?
Yes. So I'll let you know where I need help. Again, I'm not saying don't offer suggestions. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying you're saying. But I'm saying, you know, even when you say you have, sometimes, even though we have responsibilities that we set in our own mindset as men, it might be better and beneficial to us to hand them responsibility over sometimes to our wives.
Right. So where you personally choose to allow your wife to help you, that's her help for you.
Right.
I might choose something different. I might not choose the same thing that you choose, but I would choose, okay, I still need your help in some arena. Same thing with you. Mm-hmm. You may pick something totally different. She's still being your help, but it's a difference in being help and mm-hmm. being head. This is where I thought the conversation, where the conversation
no,
was
no,
when men turn into the help and women are now in the head, in the lead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like we have a balance. We have a right system then. Like something is thrown off. Not saying that they can't do it. Not saying
so
they're not capable.
Saying,
but let's set some boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, help me understand. Let's set some boundaries. What do we? What categorizes the head of the
mm-hmm.
household?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that we need to set that boundary. What does it mean to be the head of your household?
To me. That means I am responsible for provision. I am responsible for protection. I am responsible for the overall, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
sustainability?
Yeah, we could use that.
Yeah.
Of this unit and everybody in this unit, the unit as a whole, and each individual person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm responsible for that. You can have whatever you want inside of that. Inside of that. That's where your help comes in. When it comes down to, okay, well, then I forgot to do this. Or I already did it. Thank you. I respect yours and you respect mine, but we don't cross each other's role. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, so, but that's a traditional base.
Hey, whatever.
So what I'm taking from that is that, so if you're going to use my word, sustainability,
right.
what sustains the family? Financial gain or just financial income is what sustains the family. Living in the world we live in, we need money.
Mm-hmm.
That's one.
So is that the main one or is that just one?
For me, the main one is love.
Yeah.
And where that's coming from?
That's coming from mama.
Okay. Okay, so the power still gonna shift back but not I'm trying to win the conversation because like we said, we open. But I still, for me personally, the power always shifts back to where it's coming from.
I guess the point I was trying to make was, okay, we're trying to make it, to me it sounds like, okay, if I bring in the most money into the house, then I'm in charge of the house.
Nope, that's not what I'm saying. You can make
no.
As
much
as I'm making.
So then tell us what you're saying.
That don't mean that. That just means you have a better job than me. You make more money than me. Okay, cool. It's still ours.
Right.
We still have to decide what we're gonna do with this. This operation still has to run. I have to be responsible for that.
Okay, so go. I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm just trying to figure this out. So let's say my wife makes more than me. She brings home the bacon.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Say I don't have a job.
Okay.
All right. As man of the house, I don't have a job. All right. She brings home the money. I pay the bills. I buy the groceries. I make sure gas is in the truck. I make sure the kids got, you know, school clothes and lunch money and, you know, snacks around the house, and I make sure, you know, all of that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But she bring home the money. Am I the head of the household?
Yeah. Because you're not doing that with her money. You're doing that with your money.
That's our money.
Now, if you're doing it with her money, you got a problem that ain't got nothing to do
with
it.
I feel like I'm the help. I'm the one that's helping because you going out, you working all day. You making sure this family stays afloat. I'm helping you by doing the little things to take pressure off of you, having to go out there and deal with the work.
And you call me traditional? If your help is I lost my job and you have a job,
mm-hmm.
your help is now you taking care of, or I shouldn't even say taking care of, you are the primary breadwinner.
you're not.
That don't take away from my responsibility.
What is it? You know what you call yourself?
When
you call yourself as the man, when you're doing the same thing that the woman is doing, interchangeable. Like now you say she's the primary breadwinner. So what are you? What are you doing? That's your responsibility.
What are you saying? They're my responsibility to take care of.
I'm saying as a man, right? This is what I'm getting from. As a man, you're saying, as when I'm taking care of all of, and I'm supplying the financial, and I'm the breadwinner, that's my responsibility.
This,
correct?
What so, we do with that, how we keep this unit, we need money. Where we get it from don't matter. We need it.
Right.
So I need to make sure that we have it.
So what do you become when she picks up your responsibility?
We have it still.
We have it, but when you had it, you just was it was.
I said we have it. I'm responsible for the unit, and I need to make sure that we have it.
What I think he's saying is, isn't that a reversal of role?
No, it's not. It's a situation that I find myself in right now. I'm not looking for a job. So if I get unemployed, she automatically become head? No. No, that's not the way this works.
I think it should.
I think she should. If the situation arises and she has to take that leadership role, then you have to be man enough to say, okay, you are right.
No, you're not taking. Okay, this is where Corey differs from Eric and BJ.
Mm-hmm.
Corey will not be in a relationship, in a marriage, in anything, and not be the head of that house. I won't. I'm sorry. Working or not, I don't care who like it.
I get totally what you're saying. I get totally what you're saying. That's totally your choice. Now, I'm not finna sit and tell you I ain't the head of my household because I do the opposite, though. So
I didn't say you were. Y'all
but,
come in.
No. We're not saying you did, but I'm explaining to you.
I'm explaining to you
because the way you're saying it from a standpoint like as the head of the household, this is what it has to be. I'm saying to you, I feel just as much I'm the head of my household, but I don't go about things exactly that way.
Let me try to simplify, because I think we pinpointed something that I ain't even what I'm... As head, I have to make sure when that light switch is flipped, the lights come on. However I do it. However it gets done. However. Now, if that however is from your income...
But that don't make me no head of no damn household, man.
That don't make you...
Okay, but it don't, okay.
That don't make you.
You're right, it don't make me.
That don't make you.
Because I can still run my house and pay the lights.
Let me ask you this. What makes you head of household? What makes you the leader of
this is what makes me the head of my household.
Let's go.
Understanding my wife is in the position of power.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
That works for you.
For me. Now, that's what works for me.
Okay.
Because interchangeably, when I fall, she got to pick me up. It ain't just I'm always in charge.
I don't think you answered my question. You just said she's in a position of power. I'm saying what makes Derek?
I just told you. I allow my wife
okay.
to be in a position of power. That makes me the head of my household.
Okay. Simple.
That's it. No more.
Okay, so I won't say that mine is not in a position of power. You're just not the leader. I'm sorry. You're just not going to be the head of this unit.
You can't.
It's not going to work the way it's designed. It might not work the way it's designed with me. But it's even less of a chance if I turn away from what I believe in, because this is what I believe based on what I've read. This is what I'm going to stick with.
And I understand that. I get that. But what I'm saying is, you're saying as if them being in a position, I'm not saying you're not in a position of power, but you're in the leader. How in the hell I'm going to be a leader? I'm not the leader, but I got power.
No, I said you are not the head. There's only one. You can't separate. You can't divide head. There's only one. Head is head. There is a head.
No, we're real on that, because I said to you, I was the head, but I also understand.
So what are we saying? At the end of the day, I'm saying
we're
that
going
I'm going.
Different ways.
No. I'm saying at the end of the day, I'm going to hold that position as head. You can have all the power you want. Just understand when it comes down to it, there's one head.
Man, you just said the same thing I told you.
You want to act like you didn't understand what I
was saying.
I don't know if I said something different.
It was a good conversation.
So what I'm taking for it, I'm taking it from a spectator standpoint. I'm going to let y'all have it. All right? From what I'm taking it, and I'm just taking it both in, that it doesn't matter. Long as the man plays a role, he is going to be the head of the household.
Nope, that's not true. That's not to me. That's not. It's not as long as you play a role. You have to play the role as man. There's only one. It's not a role, because your A role could be playing the position of woman and you're going to fail. You have to play the role as the man in this relationship,
you don't think
in this family.
You don't think you can play the role and allow her to play all the other roles and still be the head?
If you choose to.
Because that's your helper, right?
If you choose to. But why would you put that responsibility on her? Why would I put all of that responsibility? As my wife, I don't want you to have to worry about what the head should be worried about.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have those stresses. I want you to feel like I can come home and everything that I dealt with outside of this house, I ain't got to deal with when I get here. Because I got somebody who's willing to take that on.
I agree with that totally. But look at it from this standpoint. Are we bringing religion into this now? Because that's your interpretation of how I go by.
It's always going to be. And I may be single for the rest of my days, but that's the way it is going.
First you said man and helper. The woman is the helper.
Yes.
So if I give her all my responsibilities, how is my interpretation on that being my help wrong compared to my interpretation what I
Because if
you're
giving her all your responsibilities, she's not helping, she's doing your job. That's not help.
Well, help do your job.
No, she don't. She help.
You do your job, right?
She help.
You do your job, right?
No, man. You keep...
No!
I guess,
what did
I
your
guess
husband do?
What I needed to. Whatever it might be.
And that's your job. Because your job is to be the head.
A part of jobs. I don't see not going to do my job.
No, she helps you do your job.
Thank you. So why is this word help so big? Why is
No.
I think the word help degrades a person. Looking at it from a certain standpoint.
When you're talking about a husband and wife.
Right. When you're talking about a helper, okay.
Even though I know
maids are helpers. Slaves are helpers. You know what I mean? That, so it degrades a person in a certain extent when you label them your helper. It shouldn't be your helper. It should be your equal. That's the only way it's going to work, is if they're your equal.
Okay, since you put it that way, let's take this in a business sense. The head of any corporation is called the what?
CEO.
Is that
right. There's only one, correct?
Yeah.
Anybody under that CEO is a what? You helping that CEO become more. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your role is in this company. You can be the CIO, CFO, whatever. There's
right.
only one CEO.
Right.
Family, there's only one CEO. One.
Okay.
Everybody that comes under that CEO is what? You're helping that
okay.
CEO. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. I'm saying the interpretation on both sides. On the side of where help is being took to be seen as bad.
I think y'all taking help that way.
No.
It is what it is. I'm going to help her. She's going to help me. We're going to help each other.
I believe you're saying help from a good place. I'm saying help has almost been looked at as our second topic. Submissive. It's been made to seem as is less than what it really is. Because you can't do anything without help. So help is interesting. It's very important, but at the end of the day, it's made to seem as it's less than the person that's in charge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's personal.
But that's the interpretation.
Well.
And that's what Bone was saying in the beginning. That's the interpretation. That's up to every general
So
person.
Now we shouldn't use the word help no more. You are my what?
Equal.
No, but I'm saying, I got that. I'm not saying you're beneath me. I'm not saying that we're not equal. I'm
right,
talking
right,
about
right.
as far as responsibilities.
Well, then this
what word do I use?
Then this corporation don't have this one CEO. This corporation has two CEOs. Or council. Or something.
See, now we're changing the rules.
This is
what happens, and this is why things never, it always gets blown out of proportion because we start changing rules to accommodate people who can't agree with rules. Rules are put in place for a reason. If you can't agree with the rules, then maybe you're in the wrong position.
I don't think it's a problem with the CEO thing, with the scenario you throw out there. I don't see it at all because it's some CEOs that's hands-on and some CEOs don't do nothing. So that means it goes back to the same thing I was saying. If I want to turn all my responsibility over to my wife and still see myself as the head of my household, I'm the head of my household.
See, I would have a problem with that.
But that's personal.
It is.
And that's interpretation.
Yeah, it is.
But being the head don't come down to individual interpretation. Because if it did, nobody would be married forever.
So why did we spend the first 20 minutes trying to understand what I was saying about being here? If it's all individual and it's all interpretation and it's, or it don't come down to interpretation.
Because it's all about our point of view. That's what this is about.
Okay.
It's about us discussing our understanding of a topic and getting it out there to show people we open.
Well, then there it is.
And we, me and Ball agreed some places, we fell off. You went totally opposite of us from the beginning. But that's
but
you
knew that, though.
That's
true. I mean,
I'm based
and I'm grounded in what I believe. And that's just who I am. That's who I'm always going to be. If nobody agrees with that, I'm okay with that.
And I think this is the perfect opportunity and time to move into our next topic.
Stop. Yeah.
All right. Men in a submissive role.
Yeah. So I already know he ain't going to agree with this. And I basically told you I'm okay with being submissive. But my thing is with submissive position. I believe love is the most powerful thing we have. And I believe if you can love something, you automatically going to become submissive to it. You might not even know it, but love and submissive is kind of interchangeable. Mm-hmm. If you get love, you got submission coming somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't have a problem playing a submissive role, me personally, because I love a lot of stuff. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a scenario right quick. I went to the Army, right? I wasn't crazy about the Army. I went to the Army out of not so much convenience, but it was what I had to do at the time. You know what I'm saying? So I bought into the Army. Yes! By the time I was in my third, fourth year, I loved the Army. I was serious about the Army. I'd do whatever I had to put on. So much so that when I was put up with a decision where I didn't want to go to war, I disagreed with the whole standpoint of the war.
Mm-hmm.
But my love for the Army, I went to the war. You see what I'm saying? So I was submissive enough inside of that to do something I didn't even want to. Now, let me tell you three things I'm crazy about. I'm crazy about God, my family, my friends, and this show, Thoughts of a Brother, period. This whole establishment. I'm crazy about it. Now, ask me, am I submissive to that? Yes, I'm totally submissive. Whatever you need me to do, as an individual, as a friend, as a family member, as a husband, as period. I love you, I'm going to do it. I'm submissive. So I have no problem as a man being in submissive role.
You said I wouldn't agree. You might be surprised. I do agree, but
no, there it is.
But to a certain extent, you said you would go against what you believe in being submissive. I won't. Put me in that same scenario, and if
you want to win the war,
if I'm totally against it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably, first of all, wouldn't sign up for the military, knowing that I'm against war and there's a possibility that I might have to go to war and sign it up. I'm not signing up.
No. I'm not against war. I was against what that war was about.
That war.
Yeah, the war I went to.
Okay. So then in that scenario, if it's something that I find like it's a specific thing that I'm against, then yeah, I probably would have bought. You got to do what you got to do to me. I'm just not, I don't believe in it.
I get that.
So I'm not
going, I get that.
But you know that.
I get that. I get that.
Like,
if
I will be submissive to when it comes to, until it comes to something that I don't believe in, until something where I feel like I need to stand up. And in that point, where it becomes kind of cloudy is because there's a lot of things that submission is going to conflict. That
mm-hmm.
when it comes
mm-hmm.
to me, you know, I guess you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
I can't
right.
say it the right way, but.
I think it's levels. I think there's levels to everything, but to submission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are those that will not submit,
mm-hmm.
and then there's those that are going to over
submit.
Okay, I think you need a healthy balance of submission. Your submission level need to be 50-50. You know, a good healthy.
Set to 5-5.
You know, 60-50-40.
Yeah.
65. You know, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where I'm going is that, okay, I don't think a man should be a complete pushover in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be a complete pushover. Your companion should healthily hear you say no or put your foot down on a good, you know, consistent basis. They need to just, you know, kind of know that I'm not going to get every single thing I ask for.
Right.
I'm of the belief, of the opinion, that people will try you just to see how far you will go.
Exactly. It's, you know, that's a healthy relationship, as far as I'm concerned.
But yeah, but if you keep saying, okay, Okay.
Oh, because I was just going to point out, like, you can't be a fool either. Though.
Mm-hmm.
You know when people trying, so you have to, like Bone say, you it ain't going to be yet every time. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you no here and there. And I might give you no on a regular basis if I see I get yes too much.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To pull you back in and realize that it's still there. It's still there. But I don't see the real problem with showing a list of mission, is it?
See, the problem I have with that is if I tell you no just because I feel like I've been telling you yeah too much, eventually I'm going to tell you yeah about this thing that I just told you no about. Because I really didn't say it because I don't disagree. I said it because I know I've been saying yeah a lot.
Man, say it. Tell them no. I don't got no. I tell them no, but just walk around the house, say no. And they ain't even ask me a question because you need to hear no. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
What's wrong with you?
No. But hey, no.
But I'm the one in here. Do y'all hear this? I'm the one out here that's okay. No, man. I'm difficult, but I'm simple. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to get the things that matter. Matter, and it probably gonna come down to me not bending on them because they matter that much.
Yeah,
and it's just that simple, but it's difficult to deal with because this dude is just like he don't.
Yeah, most people ain't used to just straightforward.
Man, look, if we all can get a little bit of that straightforwardness, just say what you're saying. All these subliminal messages, and I don't like rap no more. Say what you saying to who you said it to and be done with it. I ain't got time to figure out what you saying. I ain't got time to read through the lines and all. You ain't talking to me then. You could be talking to me, but you ain't talking to me. Because you know my name. You know my name. You got something to say, say it. You got something to do, do it. You want to say no. Stick to your law. You say yes, say yeah.
It makes sense. But I don't think Man Bone saying even in them instances where we say yes, we saying yes because we just decided I said it as in that manner.
It's
going to
benefit us.
Right. If it's no, it's no. It ain't no changing that. Now, if I feel to myself that I ain't doing it, I ain't doing it. I don't care what you come tell me later or put into it or try to lay up next to me later on. It's no. It's just no. It's simple as that. Now, but it is sometimes where it don't really matter. Where I can say yes or no, and I might not want to be bothered with it. But I see, like, you know what? And it ain't won't hurt. I can deal with that for a minute. And that's my submission.
Where, again, I'm just like in the first topic, I was figuring we were going to go more.
Man, you can go wherever you want to, though.
Okay. Let me talk then. We were going to come, like,
you keep talking.
More into, like we said, the submissive role. Not the idea of being submissive, but what would I consider a submissive role?
We just gave you an example. We said sometimes we say yes. That's taking the role of being a submissive husband in them instances. But maybe
okay,
saying,
I'm gonna put it like this. And this is Corey's opinion. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. This is me. I feel as though a man. This is again me. A man in a relationship who puts the responsibility of making sure bills are paid, not where the money comes from, but making sure bills are paid for that house.
Mm-hmm.
You put that on a woman, you're in a submissive role. That's not really, in my opinion, that's not her responsibility. That's not a stress she should have.
And you consider yourself to be submissive?
I consider that to be a submissive role. I consider that to be you pushing off responsibility. That's a man's responsibility to make sure that those things are done. In my opinion, and according to me, you shouldn't have to worry about that. I don't want you worrying about that.
I understand that, but I guess where my issue comes is like, well, how did that make me submissive, though?
I didn't put that. I didn't say you as a person.
No, I said
that's a submissive role.
Right. When I said how did that make me, I should say how did that make the individual. Because I'm just talking from a point of where I'm just talking out.
No. The role is not about the person. It's what role the person put themselves in.
You feel that role is submissive? What?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so
I thought submission was giving in to something.
Let me help me again. Here I am.
Okay,
call
ahead.
Me mediator. Call me whatever you want to call me. All right. Are we defining being in a submissive role as being a bad thing? Or a good thing?
It depends on what we're talking about. It depends on the situation.
For me, it's good because it's a continuation of love. So for me, every time submission is good.
Not always for me. Always, sometimes.
Because that means you love whatever you do.
Sometimes.
For me.
It's not a good thing because this is something I shouldn't be submissive about. This is something I should have stood up to. This is something that I shouldn't have pushed off. So I guess for me, it all depends on what we're talking about specifically that determines whether it's good or bad.
Okay. So
go ahead, bro.
I'm trying to find a scenario to help me understand.
What was the one you just gave was saying the bills, right?
Right.
Say, take this for instance, bro.
Okay.
You usually pay all the bills in your household.
Okay.
Something happens, or however it may come about, you just decide to tell your wife, I want you to take on all the bills now. If I'm not mistaken, right, T?
Mm-hmm.
That's BJ becoming submissive.
That's him putting himself
in a submissive role.
Right. Because if you were doing it, you were doing it because you felt you should have been doing it. Whatever happened that changed your mind, you should have confronted whatever happened and not. The answer to whatever happened is not, okay, not saying, okay, now you do it. No, the answer is fixing whatever happened because this is my role. I'm not changing what I do based on what happened.
Please.
I'm going to change what happened so I can continue doing what I'm supposed to do.
That makes sense. I just get lost behind that submission.
Because you gave in. You gave up what you believed because of whatever happened. Let's just say that whatever happened was you were spending money the wrong way, okay? So in the conversation, you were handling the bills, but it came out that maybe you were spending too much money some kind of way. I don't know. I'm just trying to find something. The answer is not, okay, now you take care of the bills. No, the answer is I need to find out how to handle this money better.
Right. But is that just not a bad choice to put it on your – how do you become submissive?
Because I never confronted the conflict. The conflict is me handling money. That's the conflict. Once I confront the conflict, I resolve the conflict and continue in my role. If I give up my role, then I just submit it to the conflict. I didn't submit to the person. I submitted to the conflict. I let money beat me.
But
so now I'm not handling my role.
See, I think your standpoint that you're taking, not saying right or wrong, also reflects on your definition of head of the household.
Household.
All right. I'm the head of the household regardless, you know, it's my way or the highway, basically. Okay, so my role as head of the household is to fix you. You messed up, so let me fix you so that you can stay within my line. Of how I run my house.
Man, I don't know how you got to that from what I just said. I wasn't even talking about a person. I'm talking about a situation.
That's what I'm saying. I just put the situation to help me.
Okay.
In the terms of a person.
It's not a my way or highway thing. We've already established that we have the same ideas and principles before we got married, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So it's not a my way. This is our way. We agree.
But
okay? We already got to that
point. But head of the household... Again, me, you set the rules and regulations of how you and your companion obtain those goals and things that y'all set, that y'all do have in common.
Right. I come to my companion and I tell them, look, this is the way I think we should do this. At that point, I'm not saying this is how we're going to do this. This is how I think we should do this. Right?
Right.
So then we have a dialogue. Okay, well, I agree with A, B, C, and D, but I don't agree with E. Okay, why don't you agree with E? If I'm strong about E, and the reason why you don't agree with it is something that I feel like we would have to see it not work first, we don't go with E.
That's me.
Because
he said E.
Right.
I said E.
Oh, you said E.
She don't like E.
That's her submission. Yeah.
But I'm going to listen to why you don't like E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I believe E is going to work. So now I have a conflict.
Right.
Because I'm the head, I'm going to try it this way. If it don't work, then we're going to go with your way. Now, let's say you don't like E, and you give me something that, you know what, that makes sense, and I never thought about it that way. Okay, we're going to try E. We're going to try your E. We're going to throw my E out, we're going to try your E.
So what you call that?
That's me. Submitting because that's you gave me something. You're now helping me.
But
you gave me a different thought about E.
Okay.
If you gave me something that I'd already thought about E and I already figured out how we're gonna work through E, then I'm gonna go with my E.
I think what makes that approach abrasive is the fact that, okay, in your mind, my E don't work. But what, you know, if I feel so strongly about my E too, why does your E automatically win?
Okay, so then now we can address that in every, when it comes to one person feel one way and another person feel another way, who's going to make the decision? What do we do now?
But
you feel like we should spend these $50 on groceries. I feel like we should spend these $50 on gas. What are we going to do with these $50?
That's where the head come in. And that's what Bone was saying.
That's where I'm saying we're going to spend these $50 on gas. And I'll take if it pans out and I was wrong or whatever the case may be, I'll take that. But somebody had to make the decision. And that's my role to make the decision based on what I believe is best for this unit.
That makes sense, but it makes total sense. But it says the same thing, too, though. She's going to give you that. She's going to give you that pop.
She's going to let you.
She's going to let you.
She's
not
she
might be right.
She know
very
well
we
should use those 50 on groceries.
She gonna
let you go ahead and put them 50 on gas.
So who got the power?
So when the time comes when y'all don't run out of food, y'all get wherever y'all want to go. But you can't eat when you get there. So now, okay, now you see why I said spend the 50 on groceries. Now you see.
Okay.
Why do we have to go through this though?
What if she was wrong? What if I put the $50 in gas and now I can go somewhere else and get some food? You might not have been able to put it in here today, but tomorrow I can go get it.
I get what you're saying. I just think what me and Bo are saying, you just got to be open.
Oh,
I'm
not saying
open.
That I'm not open. That's why we have a conversation, because I'm open.
Yeah, but you said in that conversation, if you do an E, you do an E. You ain't open.
What I said was, if in that conversation you don't give me enough to change my mind, then I'm not changing my mind. I'm not changing my mind just based on the simple fact that you don't agree with what I'm about to do. Tell me why you don't agree. Now, if it makes sense and I understand the logic behind it and it's something that I never thought about, then okay, you got a valid point.
But you don't have to answer to nobody, though.
What are you saying?
I'm
having a conversation.
No.
I'm not just saying I'm doing this and it's done.
No,
that's me
no.
not answering to
I'm
nobody.
I'm saying to you at the end of the day, when you explain this to her and come from your standpoint,
yeah.
She has to give you a legitimate reason, right?
Yes, she does.
For you to change your mind.
Yes, she does.
But you don't have to give her no legitimate reason if she wants to do something different.
I already got my legitimate reason, because before we had this conversation.
No. I feel you, though.
I just thought
I feel you. I
just
thought
it was funny. Before we had this conversation, I didn't want to talk to somebody else. I didn't talk to somebody that you wouldn't even know I didn't talk to. Look, I got a conflict.
I'm putting
you in this house. I don't know what we're going to do, but I trust you, number one. And number two, I know the role you gave me, so walk with me in this.
That's why
and I'm
asked
confident
you.
In whatever happened.
That's why you thought I was talking about answering to her. When I asked you who you have to answer to explain, I get told it, dog.
That's my whole basis. That's why I can say
totally
that. I'm
totally why you said you were in the head of the household, because you said divinely the instructions come through you from heaven. I understand.
Exactly.
But I want that to get out there, because somebody might just be listening and think you're just saying, I'm a man and I'm in the head of my house.
No. I have to submit too.
I get it totally.
See, I had to learn that after the fact.
I get it totally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't submitting to nobody, which is why I ended up not being married. I ain't scared of nobody. Oh, Corey, that's why you failed. You wasn't submitting to nobody. There's somebody that you got to be submissive to, too. There's somebody you got to talk to. There's some people you going to have to bend for.
I feel
that's
you.
Exactly.
And I want to put this out there now. So, I want to go this angle. Is it safe to say that we feel like maybe that is what's missing in a lot of the, I would say, younger relationships you see?
I would go as far as, I know what you're asking me,
yeah.
I would go as far as saying that's what's wrong with any relationship that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Any marriage, not
mm-hmm.
relationship, marriage. Any marriage that does not work, it was an error in the order of operations.
We talked about this before.
The structure. The structure is off.
We talked about this before. Going from the church, and once you leave the church and you hit the reception, God goes. We talked about that before. And that's the truth. That's the truth, and that's why you find a lot of marriages. I'm not saying that it's happened to everybody, but I can speak from personal experience. You find a lot of marriages, even in my own, for a number of years, I walked away from what I knew and shied away from my understanding of what God was instructing me. And I was doing it my own way. And my marriage suffered because of it. You know what I'm saying? So I understand totally what you're saying. But in being submissive, and that's why I said for me it starts with love, and I love God first. Yeah. So that means that's who I'm submissive to before anybody else.
Right.
So I'm going to be the head of my household because he's talking through me. So what if he tell me to let her get it this time? He told me that. In my heart and my eye.
And that's why I said that's okay.
Right, right.
If that's
right.
How you feel, that's great.
Right, right.
Me,
I just wanted to bring it back to the point that God was the head of the whole triangle.
Oh,
now, I still believe the matriarch stands, but it has to come.
Matriarch falls under the patriarch.
Yeah. Which falls under who?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kid, gonna report to mom.
Yeah.
You fall under mama.
Mm-hmm.
Mama, you're going to have to fall under husband, daddy, whoever. I'm sorry. It's just the way it's designed. Daddy, you got to fall up under the head. God. If you don't, if there's somewhere off in that where the lines are crossed, don't expect it to be. It might work, but you can't count on it to work. And if you follow those guidelines, you can count on it to work. Not saying that it ain't going to be hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
saying
you'll
that
get
you're going to come to crossroads. It'll work, though. It'll work. And that's just the way I believe.
That's a good point, man. Good point. I'm glad we finally came to an understanding on this whole thing, too, because it seemed like for a minute we was in a...
Listen, man, I know how to work y'all niggas, man.
Yeah,
I'm
I
sorry.
I
know you go cover the left and you go cover the right. I just got to play that middle line of always bringing back together. So that, because we already, how we start every show. We start every show with a prayer.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything, beginning and end, starts there.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. And that's
I
what
just, else and I think... At the end of the day, I think we have too many, and we're talking about women in position of power and this, that, and the third, but I still always go back to the man. If the man will stand up and do what he's supposed to do, if he follows the blueprint, everything under him will follow.
Oh, that's true.
Everything.
That's true.
You don't got to fight that.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. I was just coming totally from a perspective of as a woman trying to explain their structure also. But I totally believe now, in my heart and mind, I know this, as a man, that if you have a relationship with God for yourself and he's walking through you, everything that's around you, which falls under you, all those responsibilities, that structure of the house, the structure of the family, and each individual in it, will work.
Yeah. So if we skip going back now to woman as president. And I want to talk about this because we have some good ideas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this because we might be faced with it come real soon.
Yeah.
We are skipping a level if we go with the woman, in my opinion, if we have a woman as the head of this nation. We're skipping a level. Man submits to God, woman submits to man. If man is not in between that, then we're going to have a problem somewhere. I just believe that.
I understand what you're saying, but that woman president still falls under a household that a man runs. You don't think?
Who? Which man is running it? Which man is running that household?
Which man runs the household she in? Her husband.
No, as president. Which man is, now we're talking about the house now is the country. Let's
No. But I'm saying the individual.
No, talking about a woman as a president. I'm not.
Right.
We're off the house name
right now. Right, but I'm saying that woman who stands in front of you is a married woman. She has a husband.
How we know that? How we know? Why she can't be single?
Oh, now if you're talking about single, then that's a whole other dynamic.
It don't matter.
I'm
married or not. I'm just saying a woman as president. I don't care whether she married or not.
My idea of thinking about a woman as president, and I think I did say this, but we might have been off the air. I'm concerned with the nation and the other people that just think that is just a ridiculous idea.
Their reaction to it. Yeah.
No, to them that would almost be a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And vulnerability. You know, who's to say they won't take that opportunity to attack us?
Yeah.
I believe they will.
But you know, it's been women presidents of other nations too.
I'm not talking about them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I ain't talking about them. I ain't worried about them. I'm talking about the ones that's powerful enough that they just disagree with that. The Chinas.
the Koreas.
Never mind going outside the country. What kind of impact would it have within the house? What kind of impact would it have for this country? Meaning, look at what our current president has had to face simply
mm-hmm.
because he's a person of ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that would be magnified if we were talking about a woman? Everything he's faced plus some more.
Yes.
Because she's a woman. And that's from the people that she's now in charge of.
So do we believe this then? Because everybody in this room, I know, believe in God. If we do see a woman president, because I know in my heart and mind, I believe God allowed it happens for us to see a black president. If we do see a woman president, then where do we go with it? Because God had to allow it.
Did he? Well, yeah, I guess
No. But I'm saying, where do we go with it then, though?
Well, we won't have a choice but to deal with it.
Then can we say, is this the wrong situation? Do we look at it?
I know what I think Corey was going with is that, okay, right, God saw fit for us to see a black president.
Right.
You know what I mean? I understand that. But still look at his struggle.
Yeah.
Right.
Still look at the battles and fights he had to endure within his own country.
Right, right.
The country that elected him. You know what I'm saying? Take that, and I agree with you, Corey. Magnify that 10 times if we had a woman president. Because the country, the machine, as I always call it, is not built for that part.
It's not.
You don't think it's a possibility she might make it better?
I think she will. But
she's
going to be a struggle.
But the road to
get to
that.
Fight.
Well, if we go back to our own history, we know it's a struggle to get to any damn thing.
Yeah, man, but why go through something unnecessary?
If God put her there, he put her there to go through that struggle. Just like we say Barack has got to go through that struggle. Just like Dr. Martin Luther King was got to go through that struggle for us to be here today. That's what I'm saying. We can't. If it happens, I'm going with it. And I'm not going
to
say anything.
You won't have a choice but to go with it.
But I'm saying I'm going with it openly. I'm open with it today.
I don't think we think about just remove your personal opinion from what we're saying and think about it with an open mind outside of your personal opinion because you feel how you feel, and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But now look at it on a whole. Put yourself in our current president's shoes where you feel like every time you step out in public, which maybe all presidents felt like that, but I know just for the simple fact that my skin is darker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking into this thing at a disadvantage that no president before me has ever had. I already know that.
Mm-hmm.
On top of me knowing it, you reassure me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because the things you say, the things you do, you try to, we didn't shut down government. We got pictures of the man and his wife as monkeys. It's all kinds of stupidity.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So you're reassuring that fact that it's not about my policy. It's not about my speech. It's not about anything that I've done up to this point. First and foremost, right now, you disagree and you have an issue with the color of my skin. Now, put a woman in that.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how much more she's going to have to endure before she ever do anything. Before she, just the fact that she's a woman alone. How many men who just do not agree with women leading the country?
I told you that. Listen, I get it. Because I can see where the disconnect would be. I can see it being maybe probably 10 times worse than President Obama getting. I get that. But I think what I'm saying, if it happens, I think we would benefit from it.
Maybe.
I think we would benefit from it. And in the same standpoint, I'm saying, if it happens, because I know nothing is impossible for God, he allowed it to happen.
I get all that.
So she'll be covered.
I got all that. But what about the rest of us? Because we were on the brink. I don't know if anybody knows it or not, but we were on the brink of civil war. We were on the brink. I think if a woman gets here, we might be, if not go into it, we'll be real, real, real.
We was
real
on
close.
The brink of civil war.
Yeah, we don't even know it. We don't even know it, though.
When?
When we elected Mr. Obama.
No, man. That was,
okay.
I seen the country come more united at that time.
Okay. That's what you saw because that's what you wanted to see. I saw something different. I saw people who just did not like the fact so much that they were ready to revolt. I saw that. I'm going to hold off 1 second. It looks like we got a caller. We want to bring them on and see what they got to say.
Hey,
all right, caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? This is Q, currently in Atlanta.
Yes, sir. Good. How are you?
How are you, gentlemen, doing? You know, I want to try to magnify one of you gentlemen's point. And it's, you know, it sounds like y'all agreeing, but, you know, I look at it from this standpoint, being a political type of cat. It would have been a civil war if things had have kept escalating, because how I see America as opposed to living outside of America, you can make mistakes outside of America because the way people live. People live a little bit more down to earth outside of America. What I mean by that is you'll go to Sweden or some of these places who are expensive or what have you. The mentality over there is coupling up. The single mentality doesn't exist as much outside of America as it does in America. Then when people do couple up, they'll either have a great house and a basic car, or a lot of land and a basic utility truck or car, or they'll have a very nice car and a smaller house. I think it would have been a civil war because the way people live in America is so topsy-turvy that the minute something very tragic happens that they cannot control, then I think it would have been a class war where people who have been benefiting, like the Wall Street cats, they would have got it on the streets. If it had been going down, I kept looking at it like it was going to be a Judge Dredd movie where cats is doing well. You drive by me with that Benz and I ain't ate in a week, I'm going to smash that window and snatch you out of it. So I think that Barack did a good in two things. Outside of America, nobody, and I think about Japan this a lot, everybody thought black people was like Little John, the rapper. Everybody, the Russian,
yeah,
everybody
true.
Thought that. All right? And I used to live outside of America. Cats, I used to live in Romania. Cats was amazed to see a dark skin. They love us, but was amazed because you have so many things going on. I keep telling people, people outside of America are really like country people, like haystacking type of people. And they happy with that. But they get $100,000 and be like, it's all right. I'm not really impressed. I just want to collect my bees. While here in America, it's like, yeah, now I can show everybody I got this $100,000. It's not that serious. So
yeah.
So what I mean about y'all point is, I think Barack came at a point where, okay, let's see what the evil Negro will do. You see what I'm saying? And in reality, it was good for everybody, even the people that don't want to admit it. I personally don't like Barack. There's a lot of stuff Barack don't do for black men specifically. I would have preferred to see him strengthen the EEOC, even in your town, and I don't even know what town y'all in. Black males take up over half of the EEOC claims for unfair hiring. So let's keep that 100. So there's a lot of stuff I don't like about old boy, but at the same tone, I think he has done a great thing outside and inside. So when the chick comes, and it got to be a chick because I'm a conservative, I'm going to tell you, I don't see no Republicans that are halfway decent,
mm-hmm.
except for Rubio and Fat Boy, right? And I don't even trust them, but those are the only two. So I'm gonna bow out by saying, yeah, if Hillary come, Hillary actually has more nuts than Obama, because you guys might have missed what Hillary said to the female collective. What was it, two years ago? Stop complaining so much. Females didn't even know how to take this comment from Hillary. She said, stop complaining so much and do what you need to do. Stop whining. Women need to stop whining. Women, you never heard it on Huffington Post. Because all the women didn't know how to take that from a woman saying, Now, if Hillary sticks to that, she's a guaranteed win. If Hillary comes in and say, hey, look, I am a woman, I'm down for woman causes, but I don't want to hear this equality. The best thing Hillary can do for me is say, I don't want to hear about equality payment unless we're guaranteeing that men get hired, get doubly hired in the same department. So if you want a woman to have equal pay, great. Let's make sure that department is equal, hands down. Hillary will win going away.
My question to you is this. Let's say Hillary does win. Outside of that fact that you just stated, what impact does it have on the country, on the nation as a whole, and then on the world? Being that you've been in these other places, what impact does that have?
The impact outside of America is nothing in comparison to what just Obama has done as a face. Same thing with the black female over in Canada when she was elected. Just those two faces alone did so much outside. Hillary, impact, nothing. It's going to be what you see that she does or does not do with the whole things that she presents. Like Obama's job bill. If Obama had focused on the job real bill rather than the health care thing, they would be giving him head in the streets right now because it just makes basic sense. If you're going to spend, which, again, I'm a conservative. I don't like the fact that they spend. But if you're going to spend, and this is the dumb thing with Republicans, I would have rather seen Obama spend as much money as he want on infrastructure, because if I can employ you brothers sitting right there for the next 5 years, half a decade, then that's going to free up other places. Because let's be honest, the only reason this damage is done is because of Cheney's war. It's because of Cheney's war and also Bill Clinton's NAFTA. If those two things had not happened, brothers, we would not be in the predicament. When they told you, hey, sending jobs overseas is going to actually create jobs, it never happened. The same way when they told you, hey, if you vote for mandatory auto insurance, it's going to lower your auto insurance. Never happened. So I answer your question in that way. It's not going to do anything. It just really depends on what bills she put forward. And if she do that job bill coming in, hey, you'll be saying Hillary is it.
Yeah. I agree, though. I totally agree. And that's what I was saying to you. And we appreciate that, the feedback, Q, and you listening in, man. We appreciate that. I think we had a call from you a while back and missed it, but we appreciate you calling us back and staying listening to us, man.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So, with T, like, on that point, if she brings about change, do you see it as a bad thing?
No. I'm not personally saying that I see it as a bad thing. I just try to look at it from both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
What possibilities do we open up? The good doesn't have to be discussed. It never is.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody talks about good. It's the potential adverse effects of her being president or any woman being president. And it's the same thing that we thought about a black man being president before we actually had
one. Yeah.
So it's just a discussion, but it's things that I feel like need to be talked about.
Yeah,
We need, don't just, okay, well, we're going to walk into it and see what we... If it happens, we ain't got no choice. But why wouldn't you prepare yourself?
Yeah, I get totally what you're saying. And like you're saying, we have the example set before us now with President Obama, so you kind of know what you're moving into. But will that shy people off from putting a woman in the White House?
Those that just don't agree ain't going to vote
anyway.
So it's all a matter of who's going to be open-minded enough, how many people we have open-minded enough versus how many people we don't. That's what it's going to come down to. What she says, none of that is going to matter. It's going to be how open is our mind. And the fact that we now have African-American president tells me that we have a lot of open-minded people in this country.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we just have to see, again, going back to levels, what level is it on? You are open to that. Are you open to this? Okay, so then after we get that, now can we have a gay president? it ain't gonna stop.
Might not. Let me ask you this: to the point Q was making, was that the Civil War you was headed?
Mm-hmm.
What you were saying? So then, with that aspect, you do believe President Obama's inauguration and winning of the presidency kind of united America, even his campaign.
To a degree, but the where I was talking about, we were on the brink of civil war. It was after the inauguration. It was after all of that.
That's what I was asking you.
Yeah.
How do you figure it happened after? You talking about now because of the revolt once it became?
I shouldn't even say after. It's been throughout the whole. I would say at least the first 4 years, the first term. People have a hard time adjusting to change. Change is not comfortable.
I think a lot of people expected instant change, and that was a disadvantage that we all placed on our newly elected president at the time. They expected him to come in and just do something right. We didn't anticipate the pushback from our own government.
Right.
You know, we didn't.
You hit it on the head. It wasn't so much the people.
Right.
It was the government that had already decided. Once he got in there, it was like, he won't pass one bill.
Exactly. And the government is who or what influences people.
You don't think they'll buy in the hell of it, though? I think it's a different dynamic. You see a lot of racism in the fact that they don't want President Obama.
Okay. So the same people who are racist don't want a woman leaving them.
But racism can go a little farther than dislike.
I don't know. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But on the flip side of that, I think let's just put Hillary in that position.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she would come in believing or feeling like she has to prove herself and would overextend. You would overdo to try to make up for something that ain't even happened.
That'd be her biggest mistake. I think if she come in the way she is, she good. I think she come in trying to prove herself.
Yeah, I can see it like this. I'm not going to say what happened because I don't know. But I feel like the first time we face any type of opposition from another country, we going to war. Because I'm going to make an example out of you. But anybody else who think that you're going to try me simply because I'm a woman. No, I'm going to cut this off right here.
In her defense, she voted for the Iraqi Freedom War and the Enduring Freedom War. So she already kind of was on that side.
Wait, what? Going to war?
Yeah, she
going to war. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So I mean, that wouldn't be something she just did because she was trying to prove. She already kind of showed that.
We already know what she going to do. We already know it. And now I got control.
And that makes that's a good point, too, because even if I think about it, my drill sergeant, my male drill sergeant was just, you know, it was hard, but the females came in like they had something to prove.
They overcompensated.
They came in like they had something to prove. You know what I'm saying?
So and it's because of the mentality that they know we have.
Right.
I have to prove myself. A woman doing anything that a man is known to do is going to come in and go harder than that man. Now, in saying that, it could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because her going harder could get some things done that ain't nobody before her has been able to do or pushed hard enough to do.
Or it could be a down.
Or it could be the other way. It all depends on which way she approaches.
At this point, they're going to have to reunite the government, the House and the Senate. They're going to have to reunite.
Right.
Because right now, it's so many different cliques. Nobody can agree on nothing. You can't get nothing done. I think a lot of it got to do with the fact that they just don't like the president.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know if it'll be the same way for Hillary because I think a lot of them that don't like President Obama might be inclined to go along with Hillary Clinton if she made good enough sense.
I say it like this. President Obama is who he is. I don't know him personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his demeanor other than what he displays. I don't know the true him. I know the three of us sitting in this room pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about the differences this country would be in if we had somebody with our mentality as a black man as president right now versus what we have. And what I say is this. What I mean, I should say, is we are more, what's the word? Help me, because I'm going to say the wrong word.
You might need to say the wrong word, but...
More doggish. Let me just put it that way. We're a little bit more doggish. A little bit more fight. A little bit more.
You want? Oh, okay.
I got you.
I'm not saying. Come on, man.
I got you.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily concerned with pleasing you in my decision making. I'm concerned more with what's best for this country. I've seen him back off of some things that I personally feel like he should have pushed harder towards.
Same thing, Q.
In trying to appease people who were opposing. I don't care that you oppose it. Impeach me. Do what you got to do, but while I'm here, I'm not going to. Look, it took a long time for one of us to get in here, so I'm going to make this count.
So then you kind of take up that stance. What that was, Michael, Dr. Dyson? Was
I agree with that.
When he said, like, you know, President Obama, Jackie Robinson, he wasn't Hank Aaron.
He was like, he's not, he wasn't the first one qualified. He was the first one that they saw fit to put in office. You know what I'm saying? Like, we feel like we can have a little bit more control over him than we may have been able to have over some of those others who may have had a little bit more dogma. If we get one of those in here who they really ain't concerned with what we think about them, and they willing to stand up to the fight, I don't know how this thing gonna play out.
Yeah, too much change.
He was a good face. He was the first good face to fit the position.
I think he believed what he was saying. I think he honestly went into the White House with the right intentions. He didn't have no clue he was going to have to go against what he had to go with.
Right.
He really thought he would be able to work that out. So much so that they say he's not even really that close with the House and the Senate. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That he just figured, he went in thinking he was going to be an executive. Oh. And kind of, I'm going to say things and it's going to make enough sense. Because you got to remember what his background is. He a lawyer and then he was an activist, a social activist. So he figured he'll give you the nuts and bolts of it. It makes sense. You agree with it. He didn't realize opposition was mostly saying, even if it made sense, I don't like you. So I'm
and
not
see,
going
that's
on.
What don't make sense to me, being that you were an activist, community activist.
Mm-hmm.
You know that people going to go against things just for the simple fact that I want to.
That it's that system. You see, what we've seen standing before us in 2008 and 2009, over the years have evolved into a politician. We've seen an activist campaigning. You've seen a politician as a president.
Exactly. So that goes back to what I was saying. If you put somebody in there who's not going to be as easy, I'll say for like a better term, to convert, if he would have remained an activist,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the opposition and not conformed to politician, we'd probably see a different country.
Now, as this. Now, this, just take this into account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In order to see, maybe, I'm trying to stand in his shoes. Maybe
right.
he saw, in order to make any change,
I have to submit to something.
I have to submit to something.
Right. That's what I believe.
If I continue to be an activist, I'm not going to get no change. Nothing.
And they don't like me?
You know, all I'm going to do is be in here until they impeach me, or I'm going to fight through these 4 years, and that's going to be it. I mean, I'm feeling like, maybe he saw his only way of making any kind of change, because he has made some change and some good things. Maybe the bad outweighed good, but he's made some changes.
I would say it like this. One significant change will outweigh 30 insignificant changes. If I go in with a mindset of a keeping account or keeping a reminder of where I come from, what I'm about, and what I'm trying to do, if I can only get one major change that's going to affect that dynamic, that demographic, and other people will benefit from it, but if I can get one, we ain't had that.
You don't think he did that?
Now, those other changes.
You don't think he did that? You said he had it.
No,
the Affordable Health Care Act, I believe, is going to be the equivalent to Social Security. I'm telling you.
Well,
in the years to come,
it's
going
to
be just like
the
benefit.
That remains to be seen.
And this is what I'm saying. You said one significant change. You're not going to see that in a presidency. No president was great at the time there was a president. Name one besides Clinton.
I guess there's one. You said name you one. There's
and,
one.
And we liked Clinton because the economy was booming. But his decisions were terrible if you go back and look at it. He downsized the army. A lot of people didn't know that.
Did it hurt us?
Yes, it hurt us. That's why we got soldiers all spread out now and don't have enough back here at home.
Well, we ain't.
So I'm saying there's a lot of stuff that went on you don't know about. But what I'm saying is, in his presidency, he's probably not going to be seen as great as he will be seen outside.
That remains to be seen, too. You could be right.
But on my same point, I still commit to the fact that he was an activist in his campaign. And he became a politician because the system ate him up. It ate him up. He had to figure out some kind of way to get changed. And like Sabone point, he had to go along and give in somewhere to see these people don't like me. They ain't gonna pass no bill if I don't give them something. But all the pressure on him.
Yeah.
All the pressure's on him.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
And that's the same thing you said to, like, if it's a woman, that pressure magnifies. So I
look what it did to him.
Yeah, he's great. He's good and great now.
Look what it did to him.
Good and great now. I think he's setting up his legacy, though, because he just started his bill that it's kind of about education and educating the black community, putting education spots in. And First Lady Obama is also kind of involved in it. So I think they're setting up their legacy to walk out the White House and continue to do stuff as activists, which I think he will be seen greater as that because now you really don't care. He ain't the president. You know what I mean? He becomes just...
But what does it matter at this point, though? I said that wrong. It's not what does it matter because it always matters. But at the height of my success,
he did what he needed to do. He changed the world.
Okay.
He did. That's all he needed to do. Now he's going off into his prime and continuing to do what he did before he did it. God put him in that position to change the world.
When you say change the world, how did he change the world?
Did you ever believe in your heart of heart that a black man would be president?
No.
Now you can say that you believe a woman would be. That's change.
Okay. What does that do for my personal well-being in this country?
You know,
that changes my belief. But that doesn't change anything about my quality of living. That's what I'm concerned with right now.
You don't think that's the first step to those?
No.
Leading to that?
No. My belief is my belief. It's some people that
don't believe. Your belief is going to get you to your quality of living and change. If you ain't got no belief, you ain't got nothing. So it has to start in your belief.
Okay.
It has to start somewhere to get somewhere.
Change my belief in my capabilities. That's what will change my
It should have. Belief. You seen a black man become president. That should have changed your belief in what you could do, what you could become.
What I think Dad is saying is that, okay, that change in itself, okay, maybe it wasn't meant for Obama to be the one that changed your quality of life. Maybe it was Hillary. Just as we use it.
He opened the door.
He opened the door for her. We're not questioning whether there'll be a woman president. We're saying when.
I agree with you.
Before Obama, would you have been able to say that?
About a woman or a black man?
Either one.
You couldn't say it with certainty.
It never happened. At some point, that has changed. So that in itself opens the door
to
receive that life-changing event.
What I know, my daughter never know. As far as she know, a black man is president. I know before that point, it had never been before. My grandma never seen it. My daughter ain't seen nothing else. That's changed. That's changing the world. Now my daughter sees the fact that a black man can stand and be the president. Well, I thought it never would happen.
I don't know. I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
Yeah.
It was a good topic, boy. We went in today. That's what's up, though, man. As long as we enjoy ourselves, put out a good conversation, we appreciate our callers calling in. Q and Vic earlier, we appreciate them calling in. Reaching out to us, and we encourage everybody to call in. We want to hear your thoughts, man. We want to get some of your topics on the air.
Real quick, that call-in number is 718-664-9983. Again, 718-664-9983. Call us up. Let us know a little something.
We'll be here. We've said all along, you might have heard this dialogue and felt like we were going at each other. Whatever the case may be, that's not what it is. We are open to each other's opinion. We are open to just differences in people. We just happen to have different ideas about certain topics today. Cool. That being said, we hope you tune in on Wednesday. We'll put something together for you. Might not be as, I don't know, it could be as heavy. Might be a little heavier.
You never know. You just tune in and see.
We want to discuss things that don't like that.
Oh, I'm tearing up the studio. Nah, man, had a good time tonight. You know what I'm saying? Enjoyed all the time. I had a good time tonight, so good show, fam.
Well,
Well, with that being said, lock your doors with open hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ, Dad out.
Running away, but it's not true.